Well, here we all are. We have arrived at the first Sunday of Lent. Now, before I go any farther, I want to, just put things in their proper context and maybe in a more user-friendly language. Some of you may be visiting with us today. You've got a friend who's brought you to the Catholic Church, and your roots are in the Baptist Church. And we welcome you. We're glad you're here. And some of you all are converts. I know that. Many of you may have converted from a church like the Baptist Church. And then I'm going to glance over at our RCIA group and suggest that maybe some of them may have come out of or are coming out of the Baptist Church, or a church like the Baptist Church. And I just want to say, folks, we're in revival. Now, that's the language that's used in the Baptist Church. And it has to do with an experience one night over the course of a week where you rededicate yourself and get back on track and start moving towards the goal of a more Christ-like life. But unlike the Baptist Church, we're going to give you a whole month to do it because we know where you're coming from. Lent is primarily a time of intense spiritual preparation for conquering our temptations, using the means that Jesus used during his 40 days of preparation in the desert for his public ministry. What the deacon just read to us, the story of Jesus in the wilderness. It is also the time for our renewing our lives for the celebration of Easter with our risen Lord, who conquered sin and death through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. Today's readings teach us that we are always tempted by the world, the flesh, the devil. Maybe it's just sometimes by our own selfish interests. So we need to cooperate actively with God's grace to conquer our temptations. The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, and it describes, we often call it original sin. It's the original temptation. The evil one, in the form of a serpent, says to first man and first woman, "You will be like gods, knowing what is good and what is evil." Adam and Eve were given the possibility of making a choice to live for God, dependent upon and obedient to his will, or, very simply, saying no to God. The temptation to evil led Adam and Eve to an act of faithlessness and sin. In contrast, today's gospel from St. Matthew shows us how Jesus Christ conquered temptation by relying on faith in God's word and authority. And right between the two, in the second reading, St. Paul describes how the disobedience of Adam, who fell to Satan's original temptation, brought him and us sin, death, and a broken relationship with God. That's called original sin. St. Paul explains that Christ regained for us the right relationship with God by his perfect obedience to God the Father. Today's gospel teaches us how the desert experience of fasting, you barely made it through Ash Wednesday without getting the vapors. Oh, Lord, please, God, bring on the sunset so I can go have a tuna fish sandwich. Fasting and praying and soul strengthening enabled Jesus to confront his temptation successfully and then to preach the good news of salvation. You see the order in which they come. First the preparation, then the preaching. The tempter urges Jesus to turn stones into loaves of bread. But Jesus rejects that temptation to mistrust his Father by satisfying his own immediate temporal needs and thus reducing his divine mission to self-gratification and self-satisfaction. The tempter then suggests that Jesus prove that he is really the Son of God by jumping off the parapet, off the pinnacle, off the very top of the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus rejects this too as a temptation to act as God's superior and to demand that God prove God's worthiness and trustworthiness. Jesus says, nope, not going to do that either. And finally, Jesus rejects the temptation to idolatry. Even if worshiping Satan, bowing down to the evil one, would enrich and empower Jesus with all the kingdoms of the world. So, what does all of this mean for us and for our lives? The way we live our lives. We must confront and conquer our temptations as Jesus did, using the same means that he employed. Every one of us is tempted to seek sinful pleasures. Now let me say that again. Yeah, even me. Maybe even the deacon. But I haven't followed him around, so I'm not sure. Every one of us is tempted to seek sinful pleasures, to seek easy wealth, and to seek positions of authority and power and glory, and to use any means, even unjust or sinful ones, to gain these things. Jesus serves as a model for us in conquering temptations by strengthening himself through prayer, through penance, and through the effective use of the Word of God. I'm going to say more about that in just a second. Therefore, during this Lent, let us confront our evil tendencies with prayer, especially by participating actively in the Mass, with penance and with meditative reading of the Bible. If you were here Ash Wednesday, in one form or another, whether it was the Mass or whether it was a liturgy of word and the imposition of ashes, you heard Psalm 51. At 5 o'clock that evening, I suggested to the congregation who were present that if they want something to do during Lent, everybody's always asking, Father, what should I do during Lent? Clean up your act. No. Well, yes, but it's not always that simple. What I suggested to them and what I suggest to you is what the church has said to us two times now. Once on Ash Wednesday and once today. Read Psalm 51. Drag out your Bible. Blow off the dust. The Psalms are about in the middle. You know, this whole deal of I'm going to read the entire Bible from the very first of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. There's only one person I know of in this parish who's ever accomplished that. But I know a lot of people who've tried. It usually doesn't go very far. So I want you to go to the middle of the book, Psalm number 51. And sometime during the day, quietly, in a meditative kind of atmosphere, not blowing through it because Father said, yeah, I need to read this Psalm 51 and I got to get out of here before I'm late for work. So here I go. No. To be quiet, to be in a spirit of meditation, to take 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes to read Psalm 51 each day between now and Easter. The church says it'll make a difference, and I personally think it will make a difference in how you experience both Lent and both Easter. We are to grow in holiness by prayer, by reconciliation, and by sharing our worldly possessions during Lent. We must find time to be with God every day during Lent, speaking to Him in fervent prayer, and then, after you've given God all of His marching orders for the day, dear God, take care of, take care of, take care of, take care of, then stop and listen. Listening to Him is as important as giving God His marching orders. Maybe more important. And I think reading Psalm 51 slowly and clearly and distinctly may be just the thing you need to hear from God. And we must be reconciled to God through the sacrament of reconciliation. I preached on that a couple of weeks ago. I said it's time to start getting ready. We're there now. Start making a plan. Don't say, well, I don't know. Maybe I can get to that. If you don't want to come and sit across the room from Mario or from myself, then find another parish. Find a parish close to work. Find a parish that's going to have an evening of reconciliation. Take some time. Find a place. Be reconciled to God. And then reconcile to others by asking their forgiveness for our offenses against them. Yeah, sometimes we need to go talk to those that we've hurt and say, I'm sorry. It's not that complicated. And finally, we must share our love with others through selfless and humble service, by almsgiving, and by helping those who are in need. You know, we talked about the DSF, and I suggested just the cost of a cup of coffee, given up, brew it at home. That's why somebody you know and love bought you the Keurig. It's in the corner. Plug it in. You don't have to stop and buy one for $1.50 or $3.50, depending on your palate. And take that $1.50 or $3.50 and set it aside to give to the DSF. That's part of Lent as well. Almsgiving, and by helping those who are in need. Simply put, by the grace of God, I pray that you will make this a holy Lent. Amen.